Parshat Chayesara begins with that famous pasuk that Tzarimenu lived Me'a Shana Ve'Srim Shana Ve'Sheva Shanim Shnei Chayesara. She lived 100 years, 20 years, 7 years. These are the lives of Tzarimenu. I'd like to take a look. We've spoken about this pasuk many times. I'd like to take a look this year, Mirtz Hashem, at a medrash. The medrash is found in source number 1. Rabbi Akiva Haya Yoshev V'Doresh V'Atzibur Mitnamem. Rabbi Akiva was sitting and teaching. He was being Doresh. He was learning. And his Talmidim were Mitnamem. They were dozing off. They were sleeping. V'Keshlo Raram. He wanted to wake them up, to spark their interest, and he said to them, Ma rata Esther shetimloch al sheva besrim me'am mitina. What is the, how was it that Esther merited to rule over 127 provinces, right? We know that Esther was married to Achashverosh, and the beginning of Megillat Esther tells us he ruled over 127 medinot. So the Medrash says, Tavo Esther, Shaita Bat Bita Shel Sarah, let Esther come, who is descended from Tzarimenu, Shehaita Kuf V'Kuf Zayim V'Timloch Kuf Kuf V'Zayim Medinot. Tzarimenu lived for 120 years, and therefore Esther merited to rule over 127 provinces. That's the Medrash. And obviously we know, when we learn Medrash, that Medrash is here to teach us lessons, and every aspect of the Medrash is meant to teach us something. So obviously, Rav Nissen Opera points out in Source 2, what is the meaning of the Medrash? What's the association between Esther and Sarah? How is it that Sarah's having lived 120 years should translate into Esther having ruled 127 provinces? I mean, the numbers work out very nicely, but obviously there must be something more connecting the two. That's question one. How do we understand the interrelationship that Rabbi Akiva is trying to teach us here? Question number two, Mordechai Druck brings in source 3. Ein lanu hasaga mi ayu talmidei Rabbi Akiva shebikshu l'namnem. We have no idea the greatness of these talmidim. These were Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. When they were, you know, dozing off, this is not the dozing off that, you know, when we go to sleep, when we listen to a shiur and it's boring and we just, you know, doze off. To think that, that's mamish apikorsa, to think that they're dozing off. It's like our dozing off. We need to understand what was their dozing off about. And finally, it's not by accident that Rabbi Akiva is the one who's teaching this teaching to the students at this time. What are we to learn? That Dafka Rabbi Akiva is the one trying to give us this particular... This is our goal for today, Amir Tzashem, to try to understand, and by doing so, we'll have a deeper understanding of Tzarimenu, of Esther Amalka, I mean, obviously, of lessons for our lives. We need to understand the correlation between the two. That will be the first part of this year, and the second part of this year, very briefly, to understand the idea of dozing off, and we will understand Rabbi Akiva throughout our discussion. One approach, which I just mentioned, just to be intellectually honest, but not one we're going to pursue, is Rav Pinkus, where he says, what is the shaykhut, what is the connection in source 4 between both? Now, we know at the time Mordechai and Esther, there was a gzeira, there was a decree of complete annihilation for Klal Yisrael. And it was about this generation, the Medrash says, V'am nivra yalavka. It was as if the nation was recreated anew. We therefore find that Esther Amalka was part of the Binyan show, Klal Yisrael Mechadash, of rebuilding Klal Yisrael. And that gives her a geder, an aspect of being a name, a mother. And because a mother builds Klal Yisrael, so too, just like Tzarimenu was the mother of Klal Yisrael, Esther at some degree was likened to Tzarimenu, that she too, in the time of Golos, in the time of exile, she too rebuilt Klal Yisrael. And that's just to give you a sense of how the Mefarshim tried to see a linkage and a connection between the two. I'd like to try to look at, Amir Tzashem, two levels of trying to understand the connection between what Tzarimenu gave over to Esther Hamalka, and to be able to see the relevancy for our lives. Level number one will begin with a very, very powerful insight of Rabban Tzion Zaks, I mean Nachem Tzion, and it's not by accident that I believe that he gives over this particular insight coming mamish post-Holocaust, where he's living at the time of the rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael. And he says that there's another medrash. There's another medrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah that speaks about that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was teaching, and his Talmidim also went to sleep. And he wanted to wake them up, and he says, can you imagine one woman had 600,000 people at once? And who was that? That was Yocheved, who had Moshe Rabbeinu, who was shokel, who was equated to 600,000 people, because he was equated to all of Klal Yisrael. What do these three individuals have in common? Shari Meinu, Esther, Amalka, Moshe Rabbeinu. They are all Nimnu ben Yechidea Skula shel Hauma HaYisraeli. They're all individuals who built. Each and every one of them was unique and being able to give over, Sarimenu building Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, who redeemed Klal Yisrael, Esther, who saved Klal Yisrael, at a time when we just spoke about almost complete destruction. Rabbi v'Rabbi Akiva, Odedu b'dvarim elu atatzibur asher takvam yeyush az. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva, living at the same time, are dealing with the same issue, and that is that the people are despondent. There's a churban going on. There's a destruction. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was the one who wrote down the Mishnah because he was afraid it was going to be forgotten. This is a time when it's a very low time for Klal Yisrael. It's a time of churban. Rabbi Akiva lived, right? The Romans. It's a time of destruction. And most of the people were Nazar Rachor, had left Yiddishkeit. And this is what it means that Aruah Tetzibur Hazair Shlifneim Shinishtaka B'Sheina Muka in the asterisks in 5. It's not that they were physically sleeping, no. And that's what we said, we have to understand that at a deeper level. These were in a state of despondency, a state of frozenness, where they felt like, who are we to be able to change the situation? Things are desperate. Klal Yisrael is, you know, going into Golos. We're losing so many Jews. How is it possible to rebuild the Jewish people? And that's why both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda Nasi are telling them to go out, latzeit l'rechovos kiryah, to be able to go out, be an individual, be a Sarimenu, be a Moshe Rabbeinu, be an Esther Amalka, be those individuals who are going to go out and burn that fire and light that flame and create that passion, enthusiasm, and rebuild Torah, v'lachzir tatawim l'cheik hayadud ha'nemana, and bring back the Jews back to the Torah lifestyle. And this is the message that Rabbi Akiva is giving them. Rabbi Akiva and both Rabbi Yehuda and Nasi are telling the people, don't fall into a sleepy state, a state of saying, yeyush, of despair. No, wake up. Look at these individuals as role models. And if they are able to rebuild under difficult circumstances, you too are able to rebuild under difficult circumstances. But Chaim Tzion then goes on in the middle of 6 and quotes us a famous Rashi of Shnei Chayei Sarah. These are the years of Sarah's life. Kulam Shovim Latova. They were all equated for the good. Yes, Sarah Imenu had difficult times. She was taken to Paro's house, and she's taken to the palace of Avimelech, and she didn't have children. But Lo Yivdat Oz Rucha V'Ometz Liba. Savlad Yisrael Ba'ava, she never gave up hope. She continued to push forward. Lo Shintad Orachaya, she didn't change one iota of who she was. She always says, Gamzu Latova, this too is for the good. And she was able to take all with equanimity that this is from Hashem. And this is the connection between Sarah Imenu and Esther Amalka. Esther Amalka also had a very difficult time. She's a Yasoma, she's an orphan, she's taken to Ahasuerus' palace. I mean, this is like the last place you want a nice Jewish girl to be, in this orgy of Ahasuerus, of physical passions and pleasures. And the Redvir Kacho brings from the Alkut Shimonian, source 7, that Vahi Omenet Hadassahi Esther. Esther in her youth was the same Esther that when she came into her kingdom and as she remained in that way. Esther was somebody who also was able to see all that happened to her for the good and to be able to take everything, as this is coming from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Rabbosai, we understand now why Yistavka Rabbi Akiva, who's telling this to his Talmidim, Rabbi Akiva, who lost 24,000 Talmidim, Rabbi Akiva, who could have easily given up hope. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you have to push forward. Kulam Shavi Latova, we have difficult times. There are challenges in life, but the challenges and the difficult times can't thwart our efforts. We need to move forward. We need to see there's a master plan. And this was the message that he was giving over to his students. And this is the message that the Medrash is trying to give over to us. Rav Alpert, in source number 10, quotes here, Sarai hi Sarah b'tchila nasait Sarah. The Gemara Brachos tells us that what is the name Sarah about? Sarah is a person who was ruler, a minister. Originally, she was a minister over her own nation. In the end, she was a minister over the entire world. The Gemara tells us Sarah's name was altered from Sarai to Sarah because she had dominion over the entire world. And just where do we see that Sarah ruled over the world? Quite the opposite seems to be the case. Wasn't she taken against her will by Paro and Abimelech, etc.? Perhaps the meaning of Sarah's having dominion over the entire world is as follows. And we'll talk, really develop this idea as a theme in Yirtzeh Hashem today. The Hebrew word Sarah has multiple meanings, among them to rule, but also to prevail, to maintain, to rest, and to dwell. Sarah remained the same, unscathed and unaffected, no matter what happened to her, no matter where she happened to be, whether she was in the house of Abraham, that of Abimelech, or that of Paro. She was always steadfast, consistently maintaining the same spiritual level. Her faith never faltered nor diminished. She would not allow the immorality and depravity of her surroundings to affect her. Even as a woman who was childless for many years, she still showed the same faith that she would express when she was blessed with a child. And this is what it means that Sarah ruled. She never allowed the world to rule her. Never allowed the circumstances of life to rule her. She's always in control of the circumstances. Now we can explore how this could be connected with a particular merit or trait that Esther is said to have received. Like Sarah, Esther was taken from a place of righteousness to a place that was quite the opposite. Yet she remained unscathed and untarnished. She maintained the same faith and fear of God. This is the significance then of Esther's dominion over the world. She was the queen of 127 provinces and never allowed any of those provinces or their influences to rule over her. Sarah, our mother, blazed the trail. She transformed this great capability from the potential to the actual. Once it was actively used by Esther, this powerful characteristic could then become an inherent part of the Jewish soul for all generations to follow. We now have the ability to emulate these great women, and we possess the strength that they have passed down to the soul of our nation to find the resources and the desires to maintain our faith and to withstand the corruption of our surroundings. Rabosai, Rabbi Akiva here is teaching us such a fundamental lesson for each and every one of our lives. And that lesson is, yes, there are many things that happen in our lives that if we were to write the script, perhaps we would not be writing the script this way. And there are many things that happen in life that we call them those curveballs that are unexpected that we'd rather do without. And the challenge is to be able to say, yes, this is not something I would have wanted. But I know nonetheless that wherever I am, it's exactly where I need to be. That famous Moshe Rav Chaim Shulevitz in Sichos Musar, that a baby in its mother's arms, wherever the baby is, it could be in China, it could be in a supermarket, it could be anywhere. Where are you? I'm in my mother's arms. That is the model of Sarai Menu and Esther Hamalka. Wherever they were, we're exactly where we need to be. We are in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. We have this ability to say, Kulam Shavim Latova. Is it easy to have a difficult life, to live 90 years childless? No, it's not easy. But if this is exactly where Hashem wants me to be right now, then this is the best for me right now. Indeed, the Netziv in his Perushai Mekdavar, a very beautiful Netziv in source number 9, explains that when Chazal say that Avraham Avinu was tofa, was secondary to Sarah in the view, in being a Navi, in being a prophet, he says that's not pshat, that when Chazal say that Avram Avinu was secondary to Sarah in prophecy. No, Avram Avinu was a much greater prophet than Sarah Imenu. But in what way was Avram Avinu a secondary degree in Ruach HaKodesh, in divine inspiration? Divine inspiration takes two things. It takes the ability in the bracket in 9 to be Yoshevet Ba'olah B'Kedusha V'Tara. She was focused in a life of holiness, a life of clear directive of Kedusha, of holiness, and she was Chazka B'Munata B'Li Shum Haftacha. She believed even without a direct promise to her. She was steadfast in her faith. That idea of where is Sarah? Hinei ba'ohel, behold, she's in the tent. That characterizes Sarah Imenu. She was in the tent surrounded by this Kedusha. She was enveloped wherever she went as if by this tent, by this ability to be completely covered, concealed, taken care of by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore she was never afraid, never wanting, never experiencing any type of lack, because she knew that wherever she was, it's exactly where she needed to be, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of her. Hinei ba'ohel. So my friends, this is the first idea perhaps. Obviously there are many ideas that the Medrash is trying to teach us. Rabbi Akiva was trying to tell the people at that time, you can't give up hope. Every situation we're in is for the good. Albeit it looks dark, it looks like galus, it looks like the Jews are, you know, at a low point. But the Mishnah is being written at this time. This was a height of Jewish history to a certain degree. Go out and be able to influence. Go out and be able to inspire. Never lose hope. Rabbi Akiva is the model of one who never loses hope. And we learn this from Sarah Imenu. Kulan Shavim Latova. They're all for the good. Gamzu Latova. Esther Amalko is able to take this quality of Sarah Imenu, be able to integrate it within her. And for that reason, she merited to have rulership over 127 provinces corresponding to the life of Sarah Imenu. The second approach will begin with the Shemin HaTov, Rav Weinberger from Brooklyn, in source number 12. The Medrash tells us that Anvayu Chaye Sarah Me'ashana, etc. The Medrash says, Yodea Hashem Yemei Tmimim. Hashem knows the days of those who are Tmimim, who are whole. V'nachlatam lo'olam tiyeh, and their nachala, their inheritance is forever. Just like they are Tmimim, the Medrash says, just like they are whole, so too their years are whole. What does this mean? So it says, Tmimos is Shlemos, is a wholeness, that a person who is whole lives without stirot, lives without contradictions, and this is a person who has the ability to live in harmony in all the different aspects of their life. What does this have to do with their days being whole? So he says, "Umuchrachim." The double underline, "Lomar Dasman Gufa." He gam came in Yan Shabria da Kadosh Baruch Hu Mechadish bechol yom. Just like every person is recreated every day, so too time is something that's recreated every day, and every day has a mataram meduyeket, has a specific purpose shetrichin lifolba, that you have to accomplish today that I can't accomplish tomorrow. We know that Amalek represents the idea of machar. Right, by Amalek you have that word both in Chumash, the war of Amalek, Seim Lachim b'Amalek Machar, as well by Megillat Esther, the idea of Machar is tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll do this, tomorrow I'll do that. That's an Amalek. That's Krirus, that's coldness. The ability to have an opportunity to do something and grab it is living with the time, it's living with the momentum. And we understand this is why we're here in this world. The Shleimus HaAdam, our perfection, is really predicated to Minatzel Koko Chatav. You utilize all of your abilities to be able to reach your greatness. And you, how do you do that? It's by being able to realize that every moment that I have, every day that I have, is a new opportunity. And what I accomplished yesterday cannot be accomplished today. And I have to be able to tap in to each and every day what it has to offer. Rabbi Jacobson, Toward a Meaningful Life, points out, based on the writings of Lubavitcher Rebbe in 15, without question, the material world and your everyday needs distract you from living meaningfully. This is why it is so important to connect with your soul in the morning. Before the day begins, you're not yet engaged in any physical activities, and it's only physically that you're constrained by the limits of time and place. Mentally, there are no such barriers and boundaries. So during those first moments of the day, which are yours and yours alone, you can circumvent these boundaries and concentrate fully on spiritual matters. And this gives you the opportunity to plan the time management of your entire day. We have been conditioned to see the passing of time as an adversary. We're always rushing to an appointment or trying to meet a deadline. But time is yet another one of God's creations. And as such, it has a life of its own. Whether you waste a moment, when you have wasted a moment, you have killed it in a sense, squandering an irreplaceable opportunity. But when you use the moment properly, filling it with purpose and productivity, it lives on forever. The idea of sarei imenu, of being tmimos, of being whole, is the ability to hold on to this idea of utilizing time to its fullest. And this is continuing in 13 in the asterisk. This is what it means. There were many times that she had that were challenging. But she was able to utilize all of these times to the best of her ability. When the time she didn't have children, she didn't sit around moping all day. She was out there at the Nefesh Asher Subacharan, bringing people closer to Yiddishkeit. Wherever situation she was in, instead of dreaming, well, if I was only in this situation, I would do X, Y, and Z, but you're not in that situation. You're not yet married. You don't yet have children. You're right now unemployed, whatever it is. So now, what are the opportunities that are coming your way right now? Utilize them. Work on them. Develop yourself. Develop things around you. Help people. Do chesed, whatever it is. Take the opportunities given to you and don't squander them. This was the message that Esther Amalka had. The message of Anochi Astir Astir Panai. Esther Amalka is living in a time of tremendous darkness. It's a time where you think like, you know, you throw up your hands. What am I supposed to do with my life? She too was able to take this inspiration from Sarei Imenu and utilize all of her time to the fullest of her ability to be able to bring out a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name, even in the most difficult of times. And this is what Rabbi Akiva is telling his students. When you see how much there is found in a given moment, in a given time, how can you go to sleep? You know, if we just turn for a moment to the last page in Source 37, the Ish Tamid says it so beautifully. This is what Rabbi Akiva was trying to tell his dozing audience. It's worthwhile to be able to utilize every moment of life. We'll see in a moment, you see the power of every moment of Sarah's life, how it affected future generations. And you too, Rabbi Akiva is telling them. Use your time well. You don't know how many great things you can do at every single moment and how they can affect future generations as well. We're not just living here in the present. What we do, what our actions, what we create, has a lasting effect for generations upon generations. How could you be sleeping? How can you sleep through life? How can you be sleeping through a shear? Every single moment is replete with potential, and it has to be utilized, it has to be tapped into. Rosh Sharim Rav Reis quotes a gewaltic idea of the Chidushei Harim in Source 16a and b, and he says, and if you think about it, I never did think about it, that's the honest truth, what does it mean to rule 127 provinces? You know what that means, my friends? A province is like a country, yeah? So we know that. But a country has within it many different, you know, parts. It has different states in it. And let's take the United States as one country. And then you have 50 states in there. And then within every state, there are cities. In every city, there are towns. And every town, you get the idea. I mean, we're talking about major, like to rule over one country with all the subsidiaries involved. That's like major. 127, that's mind-boggling. Like, how do you handle that? So he says in the following, 16b. Shalufi chishuv zeh nimsa shavur kol shenat chayim shel Sarah. For every year that Sarah Imenu lived, zachta Esther limloch alachad imedinot, she was worthy to rule over one province. If we go on with this calculation, we find that for every week that Sarah lived, she was able to rule over a major city. For every hour that she lived, she was able to rule over a kfar shalem, a little, you know, town. If in 1 hour you can reach such greatness that Esther was able to rule over a whole town for the 1 hour that Sarimenu lived, how can you just waste it by sleeping away? This is a very, very powerful insight that it's not just a question of Sarimenu lived 127 years. That's how we look at it. That's how we were taught as children. But it's much deeper than that. She lived 127 years where each one of those years, which is 365 days, which is, you know, however many hours in a day, however many minutes in an hour, you got any idea, however many seconds, do the math. She lived it to its fullest. That's what it means to Mimi. That's what it means that it's whole. Bishvil kabel sraraka zo shezachtala Esther. In order for Esther Amalka to have such rulership, she needs a lot of schuyos. Where did these merits come from? As great as Esther was, lo yispika l'shemkach. It wouldn't be enough. Elmalei, if it wasn't that Sarah, her great-great-great-grandmother, was there to give her v'nachlatam l'olam tiyah as an inheritance. Each hour, each moment, enabling her to rule over this smaller group and smaller group. This is what made Sarah Imenu so special. And indeed, my friends, continue on the next page in 17, we find another pasuk in this week's parasha of Chayi Sarah, that Avraham Avinu was zakein ba bayamim. Avraham Avinu was old, coming of days. And you know what coming of days means? The Zohar Kadosh says that he was able to come with each and every one of his days, echad mehem lo nadar, without one missing. Which means he also utilized, this is the greatness of Tzaddikim, he utilized his entire day to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How many times, my friends, do we go through a whole day, particularly for those who live in countries that have something called a Sunday, right? You can wake up late, and you can lounge around, and before you get out, and before you do anything, it's like the whole day is gone. And then you look back and you say, well, what did I do today? Right? This is a challenge that we have. And indeed, we say this in chakras every morning. Ki rov maseyim tohu, most of our lives are filled with nothingness. Vimei chayim hevel lefanecha, and most of the days of our lives are empty in front of Hashem. And in the Valetzion, we daven, leman lo nigal larik velom neled levahala. Hashem, let us not, you know, toil for naught. Let us not give birth to nothingness, right? As far in there say you should think about davening for your children at that point, that they should be productive and Torah Jews and following in your ways. You don't want to give birth to nothingness. But it's not just biological children. Eila Todos Noah, our Todos, our progeny, is also our good deeds, is what we do in this world. And that is what we have to understand. You know, they say that there was once a cemetery where a person came into the cemetery and he saw that everybody here died at a very young age. This person died. It was very strange. On the tombstone, 24 years and 9 hours. This one died at 18 years and 6 hours. And it went on like this, right? No one seemed to live more than, I don't know, 25, 26 years. And it was exact, it was precise, 15 years and 3 hours. And he turned to somebody and said, is there some type of plague in this town? And they said, no, we just mark how many years were actually lived. How many years of a person's life take up all the hours that were really utilized to the fullest? It's a little bit scary. A person can live 80 years and only live 24 years. Do you understand what this means, my friends? This is what the Medrash is saying. This is what Rabbi Akiva was trying to wake up his audience. This wasn't just a riddle. This was something to wake up each and every one of us who's also in a deep lethargy in life. Like, what are you doing with your life? Are you able to follow in the footsteps of Sarimenu and Esther Amalka and utilize life to its fullest? Do you appreciate every moment that's given to you? And he says here so beautifully, continuing Rav Reis in Source 18, He says, Melecha nitzul hazman kidibaye nakala klal vikar. To utilize time appropriately is not easy at all. The Yetzer Hara works so hard in many different ways. And the key is to be able, the Yetzer Hara, to waste the time that you have. So he says, some people never seem to have anything to do, right? They're lounging around doing nothing. And that's clearly a waste of time. Other people are so busy doing things that they too aren't doing anything sometimes productive because they're just so busy just doing things. And again, they're not utilizing sometimes their time well. We have to understand, look at ourselves. This is very much what the modern day mindfulness is about, to be able to focus in on the moment. What am I doing? How am I utilizing it correctly? This is what Rabbi Akiva was trying to teach his Talmidim. But you know what, my friends, it goes one step further. When you're living a life of mindfulness, when you're living a life of the moment in front of you, you know, it's that famous joke, but it's really not funny. It's very powerful, of the Yeki who comes home the beginning of December, when he leaves his home beginning of December to go to Maariv, he says to his wife, I'm going to be a minute late tonight. Why? Because we start saying V'tein talamato levracha instead of V'tein bracha in davening. So it's like a famous joke, right? Yeah, a minute late because the Yekis are so careful, but every minute, that extra line will be an extra minute. But there's a power to it. Yes, every minute counts. Every minute has value to it. And when you understand that, my friends, you understand in the asterisk in 18, when you understand that every moment needs to be lived, then you don't live it out of, oh, I've done this so many times, but you live it rather, mitoch eranut v'itchatshut, awareness and vitality. And this is a challenge that we have, done that, been there, done that, this again, that mitzvah again. When you're really living your life and understanding the importance and value of time, then you don't take anything for granted. And this was the greatness of Sarah Imenu, that she lived her life not only with completeness, but with vitality in that type of in this type of world. And this is the way you reach Chaye Netzach. This is the way you reach greatness, that every moment in front of me, I've never had this moment before. Let me utilize it to the fullest. Wow, what opportunity. What greatness. Gewaltig, amazing. This is how we need to look at it. Rav Asher Weiss on the Parsha echoes this idea in Source 20. He says, time crowns the letters of the Torah, as our sages say. Torah can only be mastered by those who kill themselves in its pursuit by plying every iota of their strength. This was the path of our forefathers, which we must follow. That's Rabbi Akiva. The time, the crowns to the letters. They utilize every day to its fullest potential. Sarah Imenu lived for 127 years. She sanctified every moment of her life by applying each and every waking moment to the service of God. This lesson was based on Rabbi Akiva's astonishing ascent from an ignorant shepherd to a giant of Torah wisdom. Our sages tells Rabbi Akiva's wife sent him away from home to study distant yeshiva. And we know the famous story. After 12 years, he came back, and as he's about to knock on the door, he hears his wife saying to a neighbor, you know, say, oh, he left you for 12 years. I wouldn't mind him living another 12 years. And you know what he does? He doesn't even knock on the door. He leaves. He turns around and goes away for another 12 years. Ask Rav Chaim Shulevitz, why didn't he just come home and have a cup of coffee? And the answer is, had he done so, he would have had two 12-year periods of study rather than one period of 24 consecutive years. When calculating years spent in Torah study, 12 plus 12 does not equal 24. Rabbi Akiva himself was so sensitive to this idea of utilizing time to its fullest. Rabbi Akiva and his righteous wife understood this is the key to greatness in Torah, utilizing time to its fullest. This was the path of our forefathers, as we learn from Sarim Nenu, whose days were all equally good. Esther Malka merited to rule over 127 countries. Ruling over even one country is difficult enough. How does one succeed in ensuring the peace and prosperity of the many countries under their reign? Obviously, one who wished to rule over 127 countries needs to pay individual attention to each and every individual village to ensure that there were no sparks of rebellion anywhere in the kingdom, which might then catch fire and spread to the surrounding regions. Only by paying careful attention to every province is it possible to consolidate one's rule. Esther learned this approach from Sarimenu, who consolidated the years of her life into harmonious perfection by paying careful attention, this is in the bracket in 21, to every moment of precious life. And you see this by David HaMelech. David HaMelech had one request of Hashem, Acha shalti meit Hashem, to be able to live and see the sweetness of Hashem and visit His sanctuary. The commentators note this prayer begins in the past tense, Acha shalti, one thing I requested from Hashem, and continues in the future tense that Osa avakesh, that which I will seek in the future. Most people's lives are divided into different periods. Their dreams and aspirations may vary from one period to another. The dreams of a young child are not the same as those of an old man. The aspirations of a pauper are not the same as of a millionaire. This was not true of David HaMelech. Hashem raises the needy from the dust, from the trash heaps. He lifts the destitute. David HaMelech began his career as a lowly shepherd, ostracized by his own family, and rose to be king of Israel. Yet through all the stages of life, he had one desire. Let me sit in the house of Hashem all the days of his life. He wanted nothing else but to devote his entire life to the service of Hashem. But it goes further than that. It only says that I want to be in the house of God and I want to be there as a visitor. Remain there as a visitor. Well, either you're living there or you're a visitor. What's pshat? Often people take 22 asterisks interest in something that is new, but lose interest in it over time. David HaMelech prayed that he might sit in the house of Hashem, studying his holy Torah all the days of his life, and still experiencing the same sense of novelty and interest as if he had just come to visit. This is the greatness of Sarimenu. This is the greatness of the Gedolim, of the Tmimos, of being able to appreciate every single moment and living it to the fullest. So my friends, we see Rabbi Akiva's message on the first level is Kulam Shavim Tova. Everything is for the good. Be able to go out. Don't be sleeping in the stupor state. Go out and be able to influence. Be able to see that whatever situation we're in, this is exactly where we need to be. On the second level, Rabbi Akiva's teaching his students the power of time, how one moment could be giving over provinces. 1 hour, 1 second. We have no idea what we can develop with every single moment that we have in front of us. We need to have the vitality. We need to have that oomph to be able to utilize each and every one of our days, that sense of direction, that sense of mission, to be able to use our time. And as the Lubavitch Rabbi said, for us, who maybe not be on this level, Sarimenu, at least the beginning of our day, when we wash Negevasser in the morning, we recognize that we're like Kohanim doing the Avodas of Hashem, the service of God. At least focus our day and say, I want this to be a day that I can utilize it for the fullest. And when I see myself in today's day and age, my friends, we know that the technological age, a person can sit in front of a machine for 2 or 3 hours and say, oh my gosh, I've been surfing the web for this long. We can get lost, and we have to really be able to have this type of self-control to know how to utilize our time correctly and how to spend it with meaning. What was the secret of Sarimena? What's the secret of Esther Malka? How can a person be able to live a life of Kulam Shavim Latova, to live a life where everything's for the good, to live a life of utilizing every moment for you know, the utmost? So I think the answer is in that which is in common with both Sarimena and Esther Malka. And as we mentioned, Sara comes from the word Srara. Srara is rulership. Esther was a Malka, was a queen, was a ruler. The key that both of them had and the key that we need to integrate within our own lives is to be able to be a ruler, to be able to be a master. What does this mean? So we'll begin with two ideas. We'll begin with the Birkas Mordechai in Source 23. And he says, Sara Malkahi, Molechet al Hazman. Sarimenu had the ability to rule over time. And this is the Medrash that explains that Avraham Avinu's name was changed from Avram to Avraham. A hey was added. And the Medrash says that instead of ruling just 243 limbs, he now ruled 245 limbs. What were the 5 extra limbs? The 2 eyes, the 2 ears, and his head. Maperush himlichu, what does it mean he ruled over? It means that he wasn't a servant to these different parts of his body, but rather he ruled over them. He was able to know, yes, I'm allowed to hear this. No, I'm not allowed to hear this. I'm allowed to see this. No, I'm not allowed to see this. And that's why he turns to these people, the end of 24, he turns to his students who are sleeping and he says, Hayitachein, is this possible? You came to listen and you're dozing? It must mean that you've lost malchus, you've lost being a king, you're a servant now, you're not able to have shlita, you're not able to have this self-control. And I want you to know, what is the reward of this self-control? Because of the self-control that Sarah Imenu had, Esther was zocha to be rule over so many provinces. 25, kishem shem tmimim. All of her life was Mitzvot Shlema. It was B'tshmimus. It lived in a harmony to do the Ritzon of Hashem. And my friends, he says the Birkas Mordechai Rav is Rachi, that's Pshat. Much deeper Pshat in Rashi. Just like she was 100, she was 20, to like 7 in beauty and in sin. What does that mean? It means that when you live a life to the fullest, it means you don't get old. Right, she was beautiful as a little child in terms of her passion and an earnestness and desire to learn. It was also in her ability not to have sinned because she was able to utilize all of her time well. She was the master over time. She was the master over herself. And therefore, like a 20-year-old in terms of sin, where she wasn't culpable, not responsible, because she thought, should I say this, should I not say this? Should I do this, should I not do this? And this was the greatness that she gave over, that then became manifested, that malchus. What did Sarah Imenu rule over? She ruled over herself. She ruled over her limbs. She ruled over her time. She was somebody who knew what was going on when. That inner rulership then became manifested when Esther HaMalka ruled in a more global way. The Sufos Barachos takes this idea one step further, and he says, we so often think that Malchus, and this is in 27, being a king, means something that's given to you, right? Hashkocha has it, divine providence has it, that you are elected the king. I don't know why anyone would want to be a king, but Lu Yitzuyar, you'd want that headache, and you're given the scepter in your hands, and that is what it means to have royalty. Wrong. Malchus hi tchuna. Kingship is a character trait. Adan hanachon bekoach v'nechushi pnimiim. Someone who has the ability to control oneself, to be able lichbosh et haruach, to be able to have achrayut ishit, to have personal responsibility. When you say something, oh, I didn't mean to say that. I said that. Really? Are you sure I said that? No. This is a person who knows what they say, who knows what they're doing. This is a person who takes personal responsibility for what they're saying. This is the idea of being a melech. And we know, the Gemara tells us that there was a period of Shlomo HaMelech's life where he was taken off of his kingdom. It's a very interesting story for a number of months. And the Gemara there says, Ubasov lo malach el al maklo. And in the end, all he ruled over was his staff. All he ruled over was his staff? My friends, what does that mean? Like, is the staff going to listen to you, right? A stick has a mind of its own. What does it mean he ruled over his staff? So again, this is what it means. It means to have rulership over self. A very beautiful insight in the art scroll, Medrash Rabbah on Shira Shirim, in Source 28, where the Medrash there also speaks about Shlomo HaMelech's decline, ruling over self. The insights there note that if Shlomo was king over his house alone, in what way is the king? Even the simplest householder rules over his own house. Rav Chaim Shulevitz, commenting on a parallel Gemara in Sanhedrin, perceives this description of Shlomo a sign of his wisdom and virtue and an important lesson for all other Jews. Ordinarily, when people experience a serious decline, whether in terms of wealth or power, social prestige, or spiritual standing, they're liable to suffer more than the change in status. Like a falling vase that, aside from changing position, shatters upon hitting the floor, people in decline from a previous height may well be broken as a result of their fall. In Torah sources, there are many examples of this dangerous effect. You see this by Chet HaEgel. The Jewish people fall, and they end up doing the Egel. Cain is rejected, his korban from Hashem, and he, you know, denies that Hashem even exists. This is what happens, the slippery slope of the fall. King Shlomo, however, avoided this trap. He too had fallen precipitously from his status as the world's supreme ruler, being left with mastery over nothing but his own home. But he did not lose his grip upon himself and did not allow himself to decline further than necessary. In his wisdom, he knew that he must retain his kingly self-respect even in his reduced, impoverished state. And it was his success in doing so that enabled him to recover from his terrible blow, eventually regaining his throne and returning to the great stature that he had earlier held. This is the message for all of us. We all need to be kings and queens over our lives. Yes, there are many things that happen to us that are beyond us, but we can't lose our self-control. Yes, the vase, it moves its position, but it's a shattered vase effect, he calls it. But that doesn't mean that we have to be torn into all these different pieces. We can be able to take the pieces and build ourselves back up. And that's what we have to understand. This was the greatness of Sarah Imenu. This was the greatness of Esther Amalka, that they had this inner type of rulership. Kulan Shavim Latova. All aspects was for the good. They understood that wherever they are is where they want to be. And this is the nefesh in 29. The nefesh, the soul, is always connected to Hashem. It's the outer part of us that so often gets waylaid in different aspects of life. To connect to the soul is to connect to Malchus. V'shilton zeh shel haruach, hi akarui kabur Malchus. To be able to connect to the higher vision of why we're here, that's Malchus. And this is the years of Malchus Pnimim Mitvashechet. And this is what Rabbi Akiva was saying, that she is the Ima Shel Malchus, Sarah Imenu, that enabled Klal Yisrael, and ultimately Sarah Imenu, to develop from her. And this is the message that Rabbi Akiva was trying to teach his student. You can't be sleeping. You have to have, as we saw in Birkas Mordechai, a control over yourself. You need to be the malachim. You need to be the kings. You need to be the ones who are going to be able to control where you're at. V'adam haba l'rchosh tarat emet, alav l'sagel l'atzmo koach zeh. And if you're really going to learn Torah, you need to have this. And he goes on to explain that just like a reishi, just like beginnings create so much passion and enthusiasm, that's how we have to look at Torah. And that's how these Torah scholars had to look at Torah. Asher nochi mitzav chayom, that I'm teaching you today, that every day of has to be looked at as new. When I come to learn Torah, it's like, oh, I've seen this before. No, today I'm a new person. Today I've had different experiences in life. Today I'm looking at it from a different lens. My davening is different. My learning is different. I'm different. And that's the challenge that all, each and every one of us has to have. You know, I say this to my students when they come for the year to learn. I say, you know, so often you've been in high schools that are some of the top high schools across the country. And, you know, you've learned Shmodu, you've learned Sefer Yoshua, whatever it is. And you walk into class with almost this feeling of, you know, the hands folded, I've learned this, I've had the best teachers, what are you going to teach me? And I said to the students, you may have learned it with the top and the best teacher, but you learned it when you're 16 years old. And now that you're 18 years old, you're learning from a different perspective. And the teacher is a different teacher. And the Avir Yisrael Machim, and the air of Israel makes you smarter. And all of this combination, you're different, the teacher's different, the environment's different. It's not the same Torah you're learning. That has to be how we need to approach learning every day, with this passion, with this enthusiasm. Wow! And that's the message Rabbi Akiva was trying to teach his students. So my friends, that ends level number one. Rabbi Akiva is teaching his students, Kulan Shavim Latova, everything's for the good. Every moment counts. How do you achieve this? By being a melech, by being a malka, by having rulership. You don't allow time to wash over you. You are in control over time, you are in control over the situation, and whatever is given to you, you pause, you think, how should I best respond? Like Malchus, like kingship, you are in control. Even if it's just being in control of your staff, you need to not lose that ability of self-control. Sleeping is the antithesis. With this, my friends, we can appreciate as our as one more nekuda on this level to segue us into the next part is what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Says the Shemen HaTov is just like no two provinces are the same. Each one has something slightly different. So too, no moments are the same. Each one is slightly different, and that's how you have to look at life as new opportunities coming to you at all times. So then, the question we have, my friends, in the time that we have remaining, is what does it mean that Rabbi Akiva students were sleeping? So again, we looked at it on the first level, that it was this lethargy in this very difficult time. They were sleeping because they weren't in control over themselves. They're a little bit bored of what they were learning, and this was the mussar that Rabbi Akiva was giving them. But it seems hard to understand that pshat is they were just mamish, like, you know, bored in class, like some of my students are, lahavdil, and just, you know, sleeping. Obviously, there has to be something deeper. And I'd like to take a look at this very briefly on two levels as well. What is the sleep of Rabbi Akiva's students? And again, what we can learn from it. The first approach of the two is the Tali Chaim, the Chalban, Rav Chaim HaKohen, where he says in Source 33, all of us look for Chiddush. We like newness. And he says, in our generation, we see this, that people always are changing their electronics and their telephone and their computer program for the latest and the greatest and the latest car because you want, you know, the, and, you know, it's that. And he says, you know, the truth is, if you change things every few months, then the excitement that you used to have is also gone. Like, you know, if you would change your electronics, your phone, every 3 years, so when you have a new phone, it's exciting. When you change it every 3 months, that excitement gets lost. But we're all looking for it. And that's why we know advertising technology is bent on, you know, buying because of this inner unrest and restlessness that is found within us. And he notes in Source 34, V'nei yesh laskil yesod amok ba'ot. If we think about it, there's something very deep here. V'ya makor shel tzima'un l'chidush. And this is our drive, our desire for newness. V'haynu she'ein anu motzim etin tzima'un hazeh bekerav balei chayim. You don't find this drive among animals. You don't find a cat who's bored, you know, going through the garbage all day and want to, you know, to find, well, they find a different color garbage can to go through. And you don't find birds who are filled with depression. Oh, you know, I can't believe I got to fly around today. Oh, I'm so tired of flying. What is it about people that we have this innate restlessness and boredom that the animals don't have? And he says the answer is Omek Hanyan Hi Shachidush Amiti Chidush Pnimiyut HaChayim. The answer is because what we're looking for is not on the outer world. The world of Chiddush, the world of newness, is coming from our nefesh. It's coming from our soul. It's coming from that inner part of us that wants to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that wants to be able to have this newness that's being drawn down into the world every single day. That Hashem is mechadish b'tuba v'chol yom tamim ma'aseh b'reishis. Hashem renews the world every day. What we really want to do is tap into that renewal. We want to tap into that newness. We want to become new. We want to become revitalized every day, right? Shechazar to be nishmati, that you return my neshama, I'm new every day. So this idea of wanting new things, we translate into a new telephone, or into a new car, or into a new latest and greatest, or a new outfit, or a new whatever it is. Because there's a tzimaon, there's a real thirst. But we miss God, that thirst. It's really a spiritual thirst of coming closer to Hashem. There is one point in our day where we do get satisfied, and that point is sleep. When a person is awake, 35, their neshama is giving, 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 right? It's influencing, it's exposing, it's creating. When they sleep, they're able to get. They're able to take all that they've given in the day and now be able to build on it. Now be able to receive connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. As he says in 34, Hanishama nimseit b'emda hashva'a sheba lo shpia la dama kochot atzmo. The neshama all day is giving. If it's always giving, it doesn't have time to take. Shachidush bechinat kabbalah milamala. The chiddush comes when you're able to take from above, when you're able to receive. Ah, that's an amazing idea. That receiving, that getting newness, is where we're able to be fed. And that's why sleep is so beautiful. We love sleep because sleep enables our neshama to feel that vitality, to feel that rejuvenation. We say in Kriyat Shema Lamita, Biyadcha Afkid Ruchi, in your hands I give my soul. The Rosh Tevot of Biyadcha Afkid Ruchi Bet Aleph Reish is Be'er. At night our soul is like drawing from the Be'er Mayim Chaim, drawing from that wellspring of above. And the last letter is Kaf Reish Yud, Kaf Dalad Yud is my Kad. Kadi, I become like a pitcher to be able to receive and to drink from this wellspring. Rabbi Akiva's student, sleeping, is saying to Rabbi Akiva, we want to live on a level of receiving. And the greatest way to receive is to sleep. The greatest way to receive is to be in that zone where our neshama is just taking in. This is where we want to be. To which Rabbi Akiva answers them, you're missing the boat. Yes, sleep is important. And yes, people get a lot of Chidushei Torah when sleeping. But you want to know what the greatness of life is? You want to know where to get Chiddush from? This is the model of Sari Menu. This is the model of Esther Hamalka. To be able to get it from each and every moment of life. That we should look at ourselves, Kimo in 35, Aleha Yonekit Chayuto Ma'agesa, like a leaf that gets its nourishment from the branch, and we're connected at every moment, that we have to be able to take our lives and say, I want to connect with godliness in everything that I do. When you learn Torah, not just as a you know, technical, I'm learning, but I'm learning in order to connect. I'm learning in order to be able to have relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you're able to reach that level of moving beyond the here and now to the spiritual, when you live a life that I'm looking for newness in my spirituality, in my growth, that this is what's prompting me. So I wake up in the morning, I say, oh no, another day, gosh, I got to live another day. I say, wow, well, how many opportunities do I have to create a Kiddush Shem Shemayim today? How many opportunities to use the moments of my day to influence others, to create godliness in this day? That creates newness. That creates vitality. And that's where we need to find our newness. There's nothing wrong buying new things, but don't think that that's where you're going to find your sipuk, your satisfaction. Because we know, we buy it, and then, you know, after a few hours, ugh, old stuff already, old hat, need something new, right? Ugh, that dress, I've already worn it 3 times, it's so old already. Because it's not filling our need. Our need, Rabbi Akiva's teaching, comes from the model of Sari Menu, to be able to fill our days with meaning. When we wake up in the morning and we say out loud, I want to fill this day with meaning. I want it to have, we spoke about this, the Yamim Noraim Shirim. I want, from my soul desire, I want to live a life dedicated to Hashem. When that's my motto, so then I'm looking for the abilities that my soul can receive during the day as well. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu just infusing us with more and more opportunities of connection. The final idea of what it means that Rabbi Akiva's students were sleeping. Rabbi Dessler speaks about, L'titcha Yom brings in 38 and 39, is that Rabbi Akiva felt that he was teaching something that was perhaps above them. This is the idea that he put crowns on all the letters. He was teaching something very exalted. And it wasn't making an impression on them. They weren't growing from it. He felt that perhaps they felt, by dozing, that it was beyond them, that they couldn't understand this. Like, I can't wrap my head around it, let me just check out. And he felt, while he was teaching, that the students felt that this, what he was teaching them, was beyond what they could absorb, beyond what they could learn. And therefore, they dozed off. They said, we can't, it's beyond us. To which he responded, and he said, how did Esther Hamalka become an Esther Hamalka? How did Esther Hamalka of a Telabe Reish Esther Malchus, that she wore royalty, that she became a Nevi'ah, a prophetess. How was she able to do this? Because she looked to Sarah Imenu for a model. She looked to Sarah Imenu for inspiration of how to be a Malka, of how to be a queen, of how to rule over time, of how to be able to be, have a shlita on the Yetzer Hara. And by being able, by Esther looking at, when Esther Amalka looked to Sarah Imenu, when can I be like her? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabled her to take on this characteristic, this quality, where she was able to have this malchus, this type of royalty. And that's what Rabbi Akiva was telling them. If you want to reach greatness, you gotta yearn for it, you gotta long for it, you gotta look for it, even if it's beyond you. But you gotta always say, how can I grow even higher? How can I grow even more? Shalom Maspiki Janyem Bidvarim Haramim Shadarashli Fnehem, because they thought it was Nirim Niskavimidai. Rabbi Akiva was telling them that you gotta yearn for something beyond you. Just like Esther Amalka yearned to be like a Sarah Imenu and therefore warranted and was granted this ability to be queen, so to you. Yes, this may be beyond you. Yes, it may be too difficult for you, but you can never give up hope. You always got to push forward. Rav Dessler speaks about this in Source 40. He says, what happened to the pieces of tablet which Moshe broke from the first Lucho? They were in the Aron with the second. Why? There's a great lesson to be learned from this. Whatever the person's actual spiritual status at the moment, if he's determined to rise higher, he must aim for the top. Our rabbis tell us the person should always ask, when will my deeds resemble the deeds of my forefathers? A vision of the very highest is necessary to arouse one from lethargy to embark on any spiritual journey. Is it any wonder that we bless our girls every Friday night? That you should be Kesara, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. You think my daughter can be like a Kesara, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah? Yes. If I yearn for this, if I aspire to this, if I treat her as a potential who's going to reach this, if I'm able to inspire her to desire this, then yes, this is the goal that I have. Let her use these models as models for her own life of what it means to be Yemei Tmimim, of living a life of wholeness, a life of utilizing every moment to the fullest. And this is the message that Rabbi Akiva was giving to his students and giving ultimately to us. Wherever we are in life, we have to be able to recognize this is exactly where Hashem wants us to be, not lose our equanimity, to be able to have this control, to be able to realize that wherever we are, this is the way I can bring godliness into this world, and to be able to utilize each and every moment for the fullest. It's not only in sleep that we gain greatness. It's in every moment of spiritual yearning and striving we're able to reach these great heights. And realize, my friends, that if we desire and we yearn, then we will also too be granted tremendous yata deshmaya, tremendous success in being able to be ones who are going to tap into nachlatam le'olam tichyeh, will tap into the legacy of our forefathers, and we will give over this legacy with God's help to our children and our children's children for all generations, that which we have imparted in each and every moment of our lives, living to the fullest.